Hello, America, and to our friends around the world, welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Quick programming note, those who said, Dave, I didn't get your newsletter. Yeah, we had a glitch. We have corrected it. Everything's back on. And you're saying, well, why would I want to get your newsletter? Because we do multiple publications a day, and it's hard to keep coming back. Instead, you can get an email with everything we've done in the previous 24 hours. Just go to thecommonsenseshow.com. Click on the newsletter link in the upper right-hand corner and put in your email. No, we don't sell data. And you'll get that update every single day. It's free, and over 50,000 people are doing it. Hey, we are brought to you by the product that if I had to say pick one thing that would help people maintain good health or go to restorative mode, this would be it. Save my life. And it doesn't cure anything. And you're thinking, well, gee, what does it do? It boosts your immune system tremendously, increases vitamin C, regulates vitamin D, the nuclear receptors, helps lengthen telomeres. Everything that happens with this product, the Nanosoma liquid spray, it increases the immune system functionality to a very high level. This is my wish for all of America. Make America healthy again. We talk about that. This should be at the top of the list. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Okay, the gloves are off, and I'm going to probably have to do some follow-ups on this because over time, things are going to come out. But I made a list here, 9-10 things that is terribly wrong with the FBI taking over the investigation. That's the first thing that was wrong. The FBI had no business in this investigation. There is no federal law that says the FBI can usurp local jurisdiction and jurisdictional authority from local officials, whether it be state, local, county, doesn't matter, with a political activist murder. If this were the president or vice president of the United States, the FBI and the Secret Service would be front stage. That's not what happened. They usurped what happened, and they engaged, in my humble opinion, and the evidence bears this out, a massive, massive cover-up. And the local authorities hamstrung. First of all, no one who looks at this is satisfied with the results. We're going to get into some of those here. So why is the FBI, why did they pressure local authorities to close the case? They're not looking for the truth. Let's go through it and I'll bear out what I'm saying here. First of all, no bullet or bullet fragments were found. Oh, they were? Where are they? Where are they? This was a murder that didn't just affect the United States and its political future, and particularly the younger generation. This had international implications. This is huge. Where's the forensic evidence? There is none. None available. Second thing, we covered this yesterday with proof from audio tapes. No autopsy was performed. Oh, I know. Oh, we did it. Where is it? Where is the autopsy? And this body was rushed to shipping, which means it had to be embalmed, da, 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 da. Well, the doctor did the autopsy. That's not how it works. Utah state law requires an autopsy be done in a murder case. There's no option. There's no proof it was done. There wasn't the time to do it. And we have the audio tape showing it was not done. There's not going to be an autopsy. Oh, well, the doctor's already signed the birth or the death certificate. We've heard this. If you didn't know this, go back and review what we did yesterday. Unbelievable. SIM cards at the scene were taken out of cameras. And the camera directly behind Charlie at the time of the shooting was disassembled and taken away immediately. In fact, you can see the video. It's all over YouTube. Multiple places. What you see are people jumping the table and emptying SIM cards, shots ringing out. These people didn't dive for cover. They didn't run for safety. They didn't react to the shooting. They directly went for the video evidence next to Charlie. If that's not suspicious, I don't know what is, but you can't argue with what's on tape. I'll tell you, we would never have seen that. And let me digress for just a moment. The Marianne Moorman photo. She's directly across the street from the grassy knoll. She took a picture of President Kennedy less than 1/6 of a second of the time that the fatal headshot was fired. She was so horrified, she took her camera and stuck it in her purse. Now, other people were taking pictures, but they had their cameras seized by people flashing FBI and Secret Service credentials, and Secret Service credentials were fake because there were no Secret Service assigned to that area. These people never got their cameras that are filmed back. They, oh, you'll get it back in 10 days. Here's your receipt. They never got it back. There were all kinds of interviews done. Bill Curtis, Nigel Turner, talked to people that this happened to. Today, in this day and age, and I made this comment many times, had the Kennedy assassination happened in this time frame, we would have had clear and convincing evidence. By the way, the Moorman photo went on to be developed over a 3-year period because at first she just had a grainy deal and you couldn't tell anything. It was eventually colorized, and I believe it shows the true assassin. And we know his identity, and I've covered it. I'm not going to get into that here, but I just wanted to tell you that had it not been for some of these other people that were actively filming, we would know the truth, and it was an impossible task for authorities to seize what it was. And so the way they're dealing with it is to ignore it. We haven't heard a federal explanation on why a table was jumped by a couple of men, okay? SIM cards taken out, camera behind Charlie taken down, disassembled, and off we go. Why haven't we heard anything about that from the authorities? There's probably 100 videos right now on social media that shows this. Okay, next. Why weren't there drones in the air with all the death threats Charlie was getting? Why weren't there line of sight drones covering rooftops? You'd only need two or three. You might get away with one. But there were none. Why? It's a hell of a question, isn't it? I know what someone's thinking right now. Dave, are you saying this could have been an inside job? I'm not saying anything. I'm letting the facts be presented here and let you start asking the questions. Because, see, the FBI is not asking the right questions. They're not asking any questions. Oh, here's a grainy video of a guy jumping off a roof. We don't see him in the prone position. We know that at least 20 seconds were cut off of that video. We don't have the video from other areas. Oh, no, that's all we have. And by the way, this is proof he's guilty. Next. You've seen it's hard to fight back tears when you see this. Four men carrying Charlie's body, and it's lifeless. You can see it was no movement, nothing. And they're carrying him out to the SUV. So, in an event where you have thousands of people, you don't have any EMTs, you have no standby ambulance, you have no medical authorities, and it was up to Charlie's friends closest to the scene to transport the body to the hospital. What kind of poop show is this where this would happen? I'd like to know who was in charge of that planning for that event because that person needs to be looked at. That's gross negligence. You go to a high school football game, there's a fire truck, EMTs there, but almost any high school football game for liability reasons. So you don't think there's a reason in controversial atmosphere to have medical personnel on standby and it's up to the local citizens? Charlie's life couldn't have been saved, but what if it could have been? He could have died because there wasn't proper medical personnel on scene. That's not what happened here. I know that. But if you're anticipating something negative happening, if you think it's a possibility, I think you follow my line of reasoning. Total negligence or purpose in this particular element. I just look at these here and I'm shaking my head. There are 1,400 videos on that campus. Why are we only getting grainy images? And I've looked at the image jumping down from the roof. I can't tell you who that is. That could be a member of my family, and I couldn't tell. So you're going to tell me that all 1,400 cameras on that campus have nothing but grainy, unidentifiable, clear, unclear images. Is that what we're supposed to believe? Hell, the university needs to ask for their money back. I mean, this was worse quality than a Ring camera. And we're not seeing any other angles, are we? Because if we had an angle to the right, we'd see prone position. Oh, that's right. They cut at least 20 seconds off that video. And we know the timing is all wrong, too, because the running was taking place before the crowd hit the ground. We know that. We know that. That's not in dispute. The video evidence is out there and it's everywhere. Here's one of the most outrageous things. Was this not a crime scene? Was this not a high-profile crime scene with national and international implications? All eyes upon the place. Who done it? Circumstances. I've seen the video, social media. Paving over with pavers the area where Charlie was at, digging up other areas at the crime scene. And the FBI allowed this? I thought the FBI gave crime scene evidence training to local law enforcement. Isn't that true? If this is what they're teaching, it's amazing that police departments anywhere could solve a crime at all. This is called obstruction of justice. Less than 48 hours, you're destroying the crime scene. How do you not know that you couldn't find, for example, just for example, microscopic bullet fragments, and you bring in the sensitive equipment? Well, we have videos of the entire area and what was happening. You didn't see any of the detectors being used to find microscopic bullet fragments, but they should have been looking unless they knew there was nothing to find. I've had snipers point this out to me. This is also on social media now, but I had this pointed out to me 4 days ago before I thought I was going to have to deal with this. The shooting angle does not match the angle that they say Charlie was hit. It's an 8-degree slope. No. Every person with sniper experience . And here's the thing that's really troubling. Whoever did this and wherever they did it from had knowledge of where Charlie was going to be precisely in advance. You can read between the lines on that one. Tyler Robinson. There are many people that think that he couldn't have pulled this off, didn't pull it off. He played a role with a gun. This was not 30-06, by the way, and I can't find a sniper. I've asked, I says, can you make a case for this, Mr. Sniper? No. I've asked SWAT team people, can you make a case for it? No. But they're unified, and it's not a 30-06. But Tyler Robinson, was he told to handle the gun? He's already said in court, I was paid to do this, but not shoot. He gets off. If you don't have an autopsy, how do you convict? You know, the old words of the OJ trial. If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. Well, the analogy fits here. All of these things add up to hung jury. And yet they're pushing for the death penalty before the evidence even came in. There hasn't even been discovery, and they announced they're going to go for the kill shot. Firing squad is being prepared in Utah. That's made the news in local Utah stations. Is that not a little bit of a rush to judgment? We're going to go for the death penalty when you haven't even done discovery of the evidence with the defense. And then you have to wonder what kind of stooge they'll bring in to defend this kid. Will he be sold down the river with inadequate defense, or will he be Epstein'd? He can't be allowed to walk away and talk. Not if what I think happened happened. We'll see how this plays out in the trial. But I look at this with great suspicion. But these aren't the only suspicions I have. These are the forensic. Now, I'm going to say this in summary. I know the JFK assassination upside down, inside out, right side up and down, and all around. I know it. I know the magic bullet, the timing problem, how the bullet struck Kennedy and Connally, according to the Warren Commission, changed directions and elevation 4 times. And ended up pristinely in condition, coming out of a stretcher in the hospital with the stretcher that Kennedy was, it was, yeah, exactly, that Connally was on was in dispute. I know all of it. I know the trees that were in the way, the angle, I know it all. And I got to tell you, as bad and as many holes were there with the Warren Commission report on JFK. This is worse. This is far worse. This is elementary crime scene mismanagement. Now, I have more to say in some other areas. And then I have some things I'm going to hold back on for right now. I want to see how this plays out. But I want to make sure you hear what I'm saying very clearly. There's something going on here that's not right. And when the federal authorities don't conduct a legitimate investigation, and they have not, and when they usurp the investigation illegally in violation of the 10th Amendment, right? Federalism, federal, state, local, county. They violated the 10th Amendment by usurping. See, Utah authorities could ask for help, but it was the FBI that took it over. I do not believe that Bongino and Patel are co-conspirators. I don't believe that for a second. But I do believe they're in stand-down mode for a reason. And if people don't like me saying that, then my statement to the FBI is this: if you don't like conspiracy theories, then stop acting guilty. You and your conduct have brought this on. I said in the beginning, and you can go back, I said, I want Charlie's work to continue. Let's honor his memory. Let's not get bogged down with JFK details that went on for 30 years before we really started getting to the heart of who done it. I said, I don't want to go there. Charlie's work is too important. And we need to fill the void with 1 million Charlies. And I've said that here in this venue. And I said, don't get bogged down on the forensics. But it's kind of like when the enemy is at your door, you've got to respond. And I'm responding. And I'm saying, what you're being told, America, is a load of crap. In fact, when we bring these things up, they're not even countering. It's lone gun assassin, evidence that would basically equate to a diary. And it's the same thing we've seen with every major political assassination in the last 60 plus years. And you're not going to hear any more from these people. And it's up to us to ask the right questions. Who is being protected? That's the question I have And I'm going to tell you this. The answer lies in following the money and how the power structure and MO of Turning Point either stays the same or changes. And I'm going to address that in the next segment. And by the way, for the record, everything I have said here is in evidence on social media, video evidence, audio evidence, like what I played yesterday with, there's not going to be an autopsy. Doctor's already signed the death certificate. You heard it. You heard it. It's already there. Follow the money and watch what Turning Point does. Are they going to have someone replace Charlie? Are they going to have 10 Charlies, 50 Charlies? Who's going to do it? I don't see Erica Kirk doing it. I don't see that she has those abilities that Charlie had. I think there's other people. Doesn't mean that she can't run the organization as CEO, but a lot of people are even raising questions about that. To me, maybe this was a sympathy vote to install her. Maybe she was so close to Charlie that people feel that she could administratively organize what's going on. But I'll deal with that in the next segment. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show, and it's a sad day in America. We lost a hero who was making a difference, and I'm pissed off about the way the investigation has been handled. Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. My name is Dave Hodges. I am the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really, really good to be with you. And we have a series of stories today that really go beyond common sense. They get into potentially the spirit realm. They certainly get into questioning everything that we're being told. At some point in time, it may not be in our lifetime, but it very well could be. We're going to, as a humanity, experience the Great Deception. And it's designed to make Christians fall away from the belief called the Great Falling Away. And it's also designed to get you to do things that are not in your eternal interest. Well, like what? Like taking the sign, the mark of the beast. And we're seeing all kinds of references to that today, and we're going to hit this from different angles, but that's not the only theme that we're going to hit today. We are going to talk to you about some things that people have sent me, including a guy that I used to broadcast with. I'm not going to mention his name because I'm not throwing him under the bus, but some people will make it that way, so I'm leaving his name out of it. But he wrote me the longest communication he's ever sent me. And I've known this person since 2009. That's 16 years history. I like the person. I respect him. I think his heart's in the right place. We always haven't agreed on everything, but I don't think we've ever doubted each other's sincerity. We're going to get into that here in this episode, what he told me. But it's not the only one I'm hearing this from, but I need to address something front and center. And I want to be really clear about what I'm saying. And equally clear about what I'm not saying. If I had a product that I could bestow upon everybody on the planet, and I mean everybody, it would be the NanoSoma liquid spray. And this has almost become a spiritual experience for me because this saved me from death's doorstep. Nothing else was working when I had RSV with strep lung linings and a terrible prognosis. And this brought me back, but it also works with everything, but it cures nothing. And that sounds like a paradox. But what we're really looking at here is something that boosts your immune system to unbelievable levels. You can find out all about it, how it works, but I'm recommending that everyone get on this now. It's restorative and preventative. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. I'm going to respond this way. I got about a 3-page length communication from my former colleague and friend. And he told me, Candace Owens didn't attend the memorial because of security concerns. He's sincere. And he quoted Candace from her text messages. And she did indeed say that. But let me tell you what's wrong with that statement. You had the president and vice president of the United States, along with the Secretary of War, the head of intelligence agencies, the DNI leader, Tulsi Gabbard, Pam Bondi. I mean, you had everybody there. And it's protocol not to have the president and vice president in the same location for obvious reasons. I know that when there was a Final Four game years ago, Biden and Obama purposely didn't go together. They weren't there together. They were there at different times, which I think is prudent protocol. Because if something happens to one, we have the other. Very prudent protocol, and it's Secret Service law. It's actually written into law. They violated that on that day. So with all that security, all that certainty, with hundreds of thousands of people, you're going to tell me that Candace would not have been safe. Why? Who did she piss off? Seriously. What could possibly have been the reason? And being on the board of Turning Point, why isn't she involved in some of the decision making? Why isn't she being invited to the meetings? She's not. There is an element that was connected to that memorial that did not want Candace there. And I suspect she's responding to a threat because the security was more than adequate. Ask anybody that went. Oh, it was chaotic outside on how you're going to herd people in an orderly fashion. That was a disaster. But in terms of what you could bring in, what you could even wear, you couldn't conceal anything. It was airtight security. Now, having said that, why would Candace feel she's not safe unless someone or something is threatening her? That's the only logical conclusion, and that's my response to the criticisms people are making. Candace and Charlie were as close as brother and sister. They were there together in the beginning of Turning Point, when Turning Point turned the corner to become a major force in our country. Candace was there supporting Charlie. Charlie getting help and information and ideas from Candace. Good ideas. There's something more at work here. And then there's controversy. Were Charlie's parents at the memorial or not? What about his sister? Someone took a picture from behind and it's supposed to satisfy us. That's them. I couldn't tell. They were my next door neighbors. I couldn't tell that's who they were from that picture. It was a joke to try to ascertain anything from that picture. Who did want Charlie there, and why weren't the parents even given lip service one time? One time. No one has an answer for that. So you can send me all that the Candace had security concerns is a valid reason for her not to be there. Well, of all the dignitaries, that's the only one that had a security concern. And that's the question you should be asking. Is why did she have the concern, security concern where no one else did? It makes no sense unless you look deeper beneath the hood, lift up that hood, and say, who would be threatening her and why? Now, I'm not even saying I go along with Candace's concerns about Erica Kirk. I don't like what's coming out of TPUSA with regard to Candace. I don't like some of the other things that's happened, but I'm not in position to really judge because I'm not on the inside. But I think they should be overturning everything they can to overcome this inefficient, deceptive, incompetent, and with malintent investigation into Charlie's death by federal authorities. First of all, the federal authorities didn't even have jurisdiction. They had no jurisdiction in this case. This is a state matter. Charlie was not even a federal employee. Now, for 1964, when the law was passed, a threat or an attack upon the president and vice president is a federal offense. Yeah, but that's not what's happening here. Charlie was a private citizen in the eyes of the government. So why was the FBI there? They had no business being involved. Now, could state and local authorities ask for crime lab assistance and things like this? Yes, but Cash Patel wouldn't have been taking the lead. They usurped the authority. You know, the last time I saw this in a very big way was the Las Vegas shooting, the massacre, where the FBI usurped Las Vegas police, their authority on scene, as well as their county attorney, Clark County attorney, the governor even. That was a local matter too. And you have to start asking yourself questions, why? And I think those same reasons link back to why Candace didn't feel secure. And I will tell you, I fear for Candace's life, because we're going to cover what I think really might be at work here, and it's a hypothesis. But I will not engage in throwing shade on a widow without overwhelming proof. Do I have questions? Yeah, I do. But I'm not in position to know everything. So I'm going to treat things with respect. And what could be coming out of TPUSA that I was highly concerned about, and I'll get to that in a second, may or may not have anything to do with Erica Kirk. So we're going to proceed lightly along that. And I see things just filling up social media that she's the devil's brew and she's in on it. And I'm not going there. I'm not going there. So much for the concept of innocent until proven guilty. But there are things I saw with who I would presume to be TPUSA employees at the crime scene. And it's all over. And I'd be remiss if I didn't see it. And there's only one or two possibilities here. We saw two men leap table, remove SIM cards from video, and remove a video camera behind Charlie. They weren't ducking in the midst of one shot, which could have been more, and panicking and, you know, diving for cover and self-protecting. They were unafraid. Were they TPUSA employees? If they were, they're involved in the cover-up. It's crime scene evidence tampering. That's a crime. If they're not TPUSA employees, then we have an assassination team. And they were washing the crime scene. And then, speaking of washing the crime scene, less than 48 hours, we have construction going on at the very site of the crime scene. Flagrant obstruction of justice. But we can't find out who was behind that and what they were doing. They should have been looking for bullet fragments, which is specialized equipment using a technique that's fairly old called neutron activation. They weren't doing that. There's no evidence they were doing that. And if they want us to believe their story of an incomplete video of the man running across the roof, we can't tell it's Tyler. I can't tell it's Tyler Robinson. But we don't see him in the prone position in the shooter's nest, so to speak. We don't see any of that. We don't know what that person was doing. But that person was running at the same time the crowd was not ducking yet. Now, a lot of unanswered questions here. But I want to caution people, be careful about bringing this back to Erica Kirk slap without more proof. Oh, yes, the stories are there that they fought about money and this, but what couple doesn't? Be very careful, because you hurt your credibility if you're wrong, and you certainly look insensitive. If you've got proof, then put the proof out there. If you're saying this is speculation, I would ask you to do so with some judgment and humanity behind your judgment. But I will say this, the crime scene was a flipping disaster. Is that what they're teaching at the FBI training headquarters now? How to tamper with a crime scene? release a grainy, incomplete video with the 1,400 videos on campus. All we've seen are grainy videos where you can't identify anybody. Could you make a positive ID out of that? That could be your family member, and you would not know. And as far as the father turning in his son, that story has more holes in it than Swiss cheese. I have a real problem with this. And I told you in the beginning, I did not want to go down the conspiracy route. I spent a lot of years there with Kennedy. I ended up being right on a lot of things, as did my friend and colleague on this, Jim Mars, who really set the tone, educated me, and then I jumped into it. I didn't want to make that mistake again, because we should have been looking at who motivated, what changed, what were the policies behind the death of John Kennedy. That's what I wanted to know here with Charlie. And I'm going to speculate as to that. But it's not going back to a family member. And it's certainly not going back to Erica Kirk. And am I making excuses for her? No, but I'm saying don't enter facts, not in evidence. Don't have, and you could look at things, say, I don't like it. The body language was insincere and this and that and the other. Okay. Show me some proof. But on the other hand, those men who jumped over those tables, that's not grainy footage. I want them identified. I want to know what their backgrounds were. And I want to know if the FBI encountered them. Because if this is true, it should be part of the case. I'm telling you right now, unless you have a corrupt judge and a pre-selected jury where the outcome is determined, like Donald Trump's New York trial, unless you have something like that, that kid's not getting convicted if he gets a lawyer worth a damn. He's not going down. This goes way beyond reasonable doubt and gets into the conspiratorial realm. So then who was behind it? Stay tuned. We're going to talk to you about that too. Make sure you check out our newsletter. People say, Dave, you do multiple releases a day. Yeah, we time release them through the day. But I'll say this very clearly. You can go and get one email every day that contains everything we do. All you got to do is go to thecommonsenseshow.com, click on the newsletter link in the upper right-hand corner, put in your email, and no, we do not sell data. And you'll get one email every day, either late afternoon or early evening, depending on your time zone. And that's the only place you need to go to follow our work. And do we have information on Charlie Kirk we haven't released yet? Yes, but we're still validating. And Paul Preston and I had this discussion the other day, 2 days ago, and we both agreed. We're not going to jump at straw men here. I want to stay laser focused because I want to know who did it and why, but I do have a theory. Stay tuned for the theory. The gathering for the meeting of the generals. The agenda for it. We're going to get into that right here on the Common Sense Show. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host. We're the show, Freeing America, One Enslaved Mind at a Time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we are brought to you by the healthy fat. I'm going to tell you right now, you're eating fruits that could be good for you, trim your waistline, help your digestive issues, or you could be eating the three fruits that do just the opposite. Well, Dr. Stephen Gundry has made a video watched by over 20 million people, and he has absolutely turned the corner himself. He's lost 70 pounds. He's kept it off over 20 years by following this advice. The video is free. He'll teach you and tell you how to do the same thing that he has done. Go to thehealthyfat.com/Dave. Thehealthyfat.com/Dave. And let's say this. If you're seeing this on social media, the link's already in the description box. Piece of cake, inexpensive, video's free, absolutely fantastic stuff. Thehealthyfat.com/Dave. The agenda for the meeting of the generals. It doesn't take much to figure out what's going on. First of all, you've got a fleet parked off the coast of Venezuela. You cannot keep them there indefinitely. You can't keep troops on alert indefinitely. Something has to happen. Guarantee you that is one of the major topics front and center. But if we engage in Venezuela, China may try to take advantage of a divided American military and attack Taiwan or Vietnam or the Philippines. Take your pick, but China will try to take advantage in some way. Russia may step up what they're doing. Iran, I'm hearing, is not done with nuclear production. These are topics that are all going to be discussed that are interwoven. But there's one thing I've not mentioned, but I can't see how it's not going to be discussed. Not NASA, never a straight answer, but JPL, the European Space Agency, the Chinese Space Agency, and private organizations around the world are already meeting and forming planetary defense. Let's get into why these people probably are and should be worried about 3I Atlas. And my source on this, main source, not the only source, is the most preeminent physicist, quantum physicist, the author of superstring theory, Michio Kaku, professor emeritus at New York University. And he's being very outspoken about 3I Atlas. He said, this is not natural. He said, if people think it's natural, they're not paying attention. It changes direction precisely. It's changing speed. It accelerated as it approached the sun rather than decelerate because of the gravity. This is nuts, but he is really, really concerned because 3I Atlas will pass within a eyelash of crashing into Mars. It could very easily be captured by Martian gravity, pulled in. And he went through the dimensions. He said the impact crater would be 60 miles wide. You ever seen the meteor crater off of I-40 in northern Arizona? It's about a half a mile wide. And we look at that as a monument. Can you imagine 120 times that? What would happen then? Would be the minor problem would be most of what we have there for research and exploration gone, but that's the minor thing. An impact would cause a discharge of particles and fragments that would escape Martian gravity and permeate the inner solar system. That might mean that we're having unintended visitors coming to the Earth. This would be the equivalent of a nuclear war. And if there were enough of these fragments, it could create nuclear winter, raising the dust up from the Earth from impact, covering the sun's rays from getting through, and all of a sudden now things aren't growing. Does this sound eerily like the dinosaurs and why they became extinct? This is what I can tell keeps him up at night. I've seen probably over 100 videos of Michio Kaku, quantum physics, but on this topic right here, I have never seen him appear to be so stressed. And then you take Avi Loeb, renowned Harvard astronomer, astrophysicist. I'm seeing strain and stress in him as he's talking about this. They both believe this is probably under intelligent control, but it could be an ancient remnant of something that's just running free. And it could be programmed to go investigate planets by doing close flybys, which is what this object has done since it entered our solar system. So it could be operating artificially, but not be under direct current intelligent control. It could be an artifact of the past, or it could be something that is controlled. If this were under intelligent control, should we be concerned about their intentions? This is what I believe part of this meeting with these generals is going to be about. And I understand there's private discussions in these think tanks right now, already happening, talking about planetary defense from rogue fragments to rogue intelligence. I don't know the truth now. You know, I'm not a believer in the little gray aliens and that. I don't go there. I look at this as more spiritual, but I will tell you this. This has captured the attention of top scientists. It's being poo-pooed in the mainstream media, like we're going to pay attention anyway. I think we got to expect that in this meeting run by Pete Hegseth, that now Trump is going to attend. This is very serious. And I don't think we're going to have to wait really long to find out. I'm told one of the landmark days is October 29th. So we don't have a long time to figure this out. And I don't know how we'd repulse fragments. If it's under intelligent control, well, what is it? And then you got the nutcases out there saying, oh, they're the High Federation Command. And these people have watched too much original Star Trek series with William Shatner. Great show, but I don't think it's the basis to understand what's happening here. By the way, the speed of this object is unprecedented in our solar system. It covers from here to the distance to the moon in 80 minutes. So you go have a little long lunch, you've already gone to the moon. This is how quickly this is moving. And it's on a collision course right now with Mars. And something has reached out and struck this, whatever it is. And we're not sure what it is, but we know there was an impact with the slight explosion, but the object continues. It's a mystery that I won't even speculate on because we don't have any data to really understand it. But when you have people like Avi Loeb and Michio Kaku talking about this in ominous tones, I think the rest of us better start paying attention. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Make sure that you sign up for our newsletter, thecommonsenseshow.com. Click on the newsletter link up right-hand corner, put in your email, and you'll get an update of everything we've done in the previous 24 hours. My name is Dave Hodges, and welcome, America, to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter. One-stop shopping. All you got to do is go to thecommonsenseshow.com, click the newsletter link in the upper right-hand corner, put in your email address, and you'll get one email that's a recapitulation of everything we've done the previous 24 hours. And this story is a doozy, brief, to the point, and earth-shattering, or should I say, nation-shattering. Now, I've covered elements of this before, but now the dots are connecting, and we can pull together a very, very meaningful story about home ownership and how it's almost ready to be a thing of the past. We are brought to you by Body Align. Right now, they got a buy one, get one free. Now, I use the patch on the back of my cell phone to block the EMF waves, all frequency based. Also, too, I use the energy band quite frequently. Those are two of the four products they offer, and they're all frequency-based, which is the rage in modern healthcare. They also have the sleep patch, pain patch, which I'd use if I had a need. This is great, great stuff. People love the products. They work. Go to, ready? BodyAlign, A-L-I-G-N, BodyAlign.com/Dave Hodges. Buy one, get one free, limited time only. Okay, Okay, let me review what I've covered before. 30% of home ownership now is by institutional buyers, Wall Street, BlackRock, Blackstone, so forth, so on. And it looks to me, and I've said this before, they're trying to turn America into a nation of renters. You'll own nothing and love it. Yeah, it's right out of that mentality, the Great Reset. But we have something else going on that is really, really disturbing. Now, keep in mind, 40% of the home mortgages today in America are paid off. I'll get to those in a minute. I'm going to address the 60% that aren't paid off. There's serious discussion going on with Scott Bessent. Why is the Treasury Secretary such an avowed communist? In the last administration, we saw that. We're now starting to see it now. I thought Scott Bessent was going to be a great choice, but he's after what you own, and he wants to own it, or he wants to own it on behalf of institutional buyers. I'd like to do an investigation into his finances, see where he's drawing extra income. Maybe we'll find nothing. But here's what they want to do. There is a plan right now that has not been formalized, and there's nothing in Congress about this yet. But they want to privatize, and this is Wall Street related. They want to privatize Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Now, if you're unfamiliar with that, I don't see how you could be, but if you're going to get a mortgage, you're going to have one of these two, right? This affects 60% of the mortgage. If they are private, then all federal loan restrictions are off and they can charge any interest rate they want. And I look at this, if they become privately owned, it'll be Wall Street and bank related. They'll jack the rates up. People can't afford to pay what's there. You say, wait a minute, they have a condo. No. If it's privately related, they can rewrite it. And they raise the interest rates to such a level that people have to bail. And then they get these homes on the cheap and they turn them into rentals. This is part of how we increase institutional ownership of the housing market. Right now it's at 30%. This could potentially take it to 70%. This is very, very disturbing. Now you're saying, okay, well, Dave, I've got my home paid off. No harm, no foul for me. I don't have to worry about it. It sucks for these people, the younger people, but they could start over. I couldn't. I agree. If your home's paid off, you're probably not at an age where you can start over. But here's where they're going to get you on the other end. Utilities, like here in Arizona, because we're paying for all the AI coming in and their great electrical expense. Well, Arizona people stealing from us. I mean, APS, Arizona Public Service, they're raising their rates 16.5% next year. People can't afford that. But that's only a small part of the problem to stay in your home if you're an existing homeowner with a free and clear mortgage. Then there's the property tax, which should be illegal. It's one of the planks of the Communist Party, should not be allowed in this country. Once you paid your home off, you should not be paying any property tax whatsoever. Otherwise, you're a co-tenant with the government. That's not free enterprise. That's communism. But here's what they can do. They can jack up the property rates to unbelievable levels, force you as an existing homeowner. Folks, this is already happening where people get into their 60s and 70s. They're on fixed income. Property taxes go up. They can't afford it. They got to sell or they go into repossession. Either way, they turn into rentals. This is the plan. To turn America into a nation of rentals by privatizing Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Folks, I couldn't make this up. The dots are now connecting. I've covered the 30% private institution or rentals. Yeah. Now we're pulling it all together. And at the center of it is what Scott Bessent wants. We need to sing this loud and clear. Please share this with everyone you know. And then turn around, and we need to fight like heck against this. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time.